I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers episode 418, not the box office report.
Too many good movies.
There's
too many movies.
Too many popular
movies.
Too many
movies that are making more money than they should.
Too many major releases.
Yeah, that's fair.
It was such a big week for movies, we decided that we would do two.
Yeah.
I'm going to make a rare sports reference. It's
okay.
Like Harry Carey. It's a great day for two.
Oh man, Harry Carey.
So
who was that comedian that used to do had a great?
All of them?
No, there was one that was like
Will Ferrell did it.
Will Ferrell had it, but there was another one who wasn't as popular.
Yeah,
who would like if you were to hear him like he'd do it on the he was friends with JC I think, and he would come on.
Oh, there was a local guy named Mike Duran.
No,
who did a great Harry Carey.
But either way, this guy would like, if you did not know it wasn't Harry Carey,
yeah,
you would think it was Harry Carey.
Mike Duran's Harry Carey was it. He would do this.
His was also very
he would
good.
Do this thing about Harry Carey at a Mexican restaurant ordering fajitas, and it was really good.
Oh man,
yeah, it's very juvenile.
You don't get voices like that anymore.
No,
that's okay.
So we should probably go around the table and introduce ourselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin,
and this is Tom, and we have a guest joining us via Skype-a-phone. It is.
Why didn't they call it that?
They should have. They missed out, but now I call it that, and they can't have
it. Start your own company now.
Exactly.
Oh, I'm sure that would work out fine. They wouldn't care at all.
No, everything will be okay. But Jason Michael from the Atlantic SC podcast.
Hey, Jason.
Hello, gentlemen.
Did I say everything properly?
Oh, yeah. The name is way too long. We didn't think it through. We were overzealous 2 years ago when we picked it.
I like it, though, because explain why it's called the Atlantic SC, because at first I didn't, you know, understand the connection, no pun intended, but, you know, tell the folks listening what the podcast is and the meaning of the name.
Oh, the meaning of the name is basically because my co-host lives in Ireland and I'm in Quebec City in Canada. And so the idea is that the Atlantic Ocean is the one separating us. And the only way we can actually talk to each other is through a screen anyway. And because the medium in which we, you know, review films are projected on screens, we're just connected by that. So it was just very literal and just so long to say. And we were putting out a hashtag, I remember, and Lee's the one who decided not to do what we were supposed to do. Well, the one I suggested, because he put Atlantic SC. I put AS Connect, and he says, I don't want Ass Connect to be the name that we go with for our hashtag. And he says, you know,
hashtag Ass Connection. You might get a lot of hits that way.
No, yeah, like, in retrospect,
you would get a lot of traffic. It just would be the wrong demo.
Yeah, exactly. Though, a lot
people
of traffic
just like, wait a minute, this isn't
connection.
The podcast.
Yeah.
This isn't the podcast I thought it was going to be.
Yeah. Exactly. They're talking about movies.
Yeah. Yeah.
And not
here,
the right kind of movies.
Sitting here with my pants around my ankles,
ready to rock and roll.
And you hear Jason's voice come on.
Yeah.
And you hear that sultry Canadian accent.
To me, it
works for some people.
Canadian accent. That's always weird to me because, you know, I know that to you guys, I sound Canadian. But then if I speak to people that are in Canada, they think that I sound French because I live in Quebec. But when I speak here, everyone thinks I sound American because they have no idea.
Say
you know.
say about.
About?
That's close enough.
No, it sounds pretty. But see, the thing is, we decided.
I don't say a boot, though. I don't understand what you guys. Yeah. Like, I know what the difference is between boots and a boot.
here's the real question: are you sorry?
Yeah,
I'm always sorry.
Yeah,
I'm already sorry for how this show's going to turn out.
But Jason speaks French, and I thought, well, so that we don't have to understand anything that we're talking about in this movie, we'll just have him do the review in French.
He's our translator.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
He'll be
like Garrett Morris in the bottom of the screen.
Yeah, can you translate this movie into not nonsense? And I
guess pas certain que je vais être capable. Je pense que c'est vraiment, c'est un bon film. Il y a le fun. C'est un film de série B des années 90. Mais à part de ça, je peux pas te garantir que c'est un film qui est à voir. Pas mal certain que c'est à manquer.
That was legit.
I hope that wasn't like a hate crime in French.
Yeah, right. Because I'm not looking up what it means. I'm just posting it. So
yeah, I mean, for all we know, you just denied the Holocaust. we got nothing.
No, I just basically said that it was a B movie straight from the 90s. I don't think it's something that we should see. It's something that we should miss, but it's an agreeable time anyway.
There it is.
Well, you're gonna be nicer to it than I am.
Yeah, me too.
Well, thanks for joining us. Sums it up. So we told you we'd finally have you on. See you, Jason.
Bye-bye.
So I guess we should probably say we never actually said what movie we're doing, although if you're downloading this you saw it in the title.
Yeah,
but we're doing Venom. So
I feel like it should be like Venom audible groan, you know, like that has to be attached when you say Venom. This movie.
Yeah. It was pretty rough. So.
It's funny, you know, I jokingly said this on the Facebook page, is the DC zombies will defend the DCEU to the core. And I was shocked at how many people were just like, "What? No, this movie's really good.
What?
It's really good."
Oh, they're out there.
Oh, they're out there. Yeah. It's just like, what? Okay. Yeah. I've given up hope.
I guess they got to battle the Lady Gaga fans who are, of course, blasting this thing. Because we know that's the conspiracy. I guess they can't
blame. That's an odd anomaly right now. Right. Seeing that, like, what do these movies even have in common? What's the beef?
Right.
I have no idea.
They opened the same weekend is about all they have.
Is that it?
Like, they were actually going to compete. And, like, they have anything.
Yeah, it's perfect counter-programming.
It is perfect counter-programming.
And here's the thing. The Lady Gaga fans, the Venom fans are nerd boys.
Oh, yeah.
Okay?
Neck beard scratching
and
all the way.
The Lady Gaga fans are, like, the weird theater girls that are most likely to date the nerd boys. We could have just wiped out a future generation of children because now they're fighting over this movie. Yeah. Or it could be like one of those they fight and then all of a sudden they're like, "Are you turned on? So am I."
And now we've got a weird theater goth kid.
Yeah.
Maybe that's
I know, I got a couple of them.
Maybe that's what they're trying to do.
I'd pay to watch a Venom musical. Starring Lady Gaga. That'd be awesome.
As Venom?
Yes.
As Lady Venom. I think that should be great casting.
Oh, we saw it.
Yeah, we saw
it. She just didn't sing.
Yeah.
She has better wigs, too, so that's great.
Yeah.
So I thought, Jason, I thought you said the exact thing I thought of this movie, although I didn't land on a like, but it was okay. I landed on what the hell is happening. But it really felt like a movie that should have been made 25 years
ago. If this movie comes out in 1995,
it would have been huge.
It would have been one of the greatest comic book movies ever made.
Yeah.
This movie comes out with Captain America and the John Wesley Ship Flash. And, you know, I mean, like, this movie could have came out.
I was like, you mean the...
Next to Blade, man.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. Well, the problem is Blade is really good.
Blade is 50 times
if you put this up against Blade.
Yes, but it's only 50 times better in our mind because we were in our teens when we watched it. You watch
that holds
movie
up.
Again...
Blade,
oh,
Blade 1 and Blade 2 hold up. Blade 3
Blade
not 2 so much.
Holds up. Blade 1, look at that fight with Deacon Frost at the end where he's this bubble that just doesn't make any
it's
sense.
It's got Tracy
it's
Lords.
The same crap that happened in Venom at the end of this one.
It's got Tracy Lords in it. What more do you want?
Well, there's one thing we can say for sure.
Better script.
Jason and Joe will not be having kids now.
Well, see,
I don't think you know how this
Lady
works.
Am I Lady Gaga
Kevin.
In this scenario?
If you want to be.
Yeah, I mean, you've got the beard.
They can't have babies because he's Canadian.
Oh, that doesn't work?
No, that's not how it works.
Werewolves.
Marmots. Knowing America right now, I don't think he wants to have babies with an American. So.
It's also when you divorce a Canadian.
Sure I do, man. I'd be corrupting the system from within.
Oh,
I'd be making better people that apologize for things instead of...
It's very difficult if an American marries a Canadian and they get divorced. It's very difficult to figure out the settlements because, like, you can't truly assess the value of any of your paperback books.
That's true.
Oh, that's, yeah, but at least, you know, we'll have your help to build walls.
Yeah. It's not our help.
It's like, who gets custody of the healthcare?
Yeah, right.
I'll take the Canadian healthcare.
Yeah. So, but yeah, this movie just really felt like, I mean, I haven't done any reading on it because it was a piece of crap and yeah. I don't want to spend any more time on it, but like, do we know, did this script like kick around for 20 years? Because it feels like it did.
I don't know. It they take elements from the animated series as well, so it's like, and I mean that was in the early 90s
when you went to the screening. Did they give you a comic book? Did you get a free comic? So I went to see it at AMC and I got a free comic book, and as I left I gave it back.
Well, you shouldn't have done that.
Thank you. I'm done with this.
I was just like,
I traded it. I picked it up for my daughter because she likes to draw, and I was like, here's one. But the one that they had handed me at the theater was in French, and I was like, there's no f-ing way I'm picking this up. I just handed that one back. It's like, here, you keep that. You go to the toilet and wipe. But then after that, I'm just going to keep the one that I have in English. I gave it to my daughter, and she looked at it, and she tossed it aside. So it was pretty much the same thing that happened to Tom.
Yeah. Those are going for money.
Are they really?
Yeah.
It was, and it was like 8 pages, and all it looked like was the scene where he walks into the store that you see at the very end.
Oh, really?
Like, that's all it was.
Oh, that's not what I'm thinking of. There was a movie variant that's got Tom Hardy on the cover.
That's not what this was. Okay. This was like 8 pages.
This is the free giveaway.
It was the free giveaway when you saw the movie.
I gotcha.
And I was just like, I'm not even going to waste a bag and board on this. Right. So, you can't wipe with it, as Jason said, because it was on that really
glossy
slick,
paper. Glossy, and what's the point?
Prestige format paper. Right. So it's not absorbent.
So I figure we get this out of the way, and there's no Spider-Man or Spider-Man connection in this
movie.
Yes,
there is.
What do you mean?
There's a Spider-Man connection in this movie.
What is it?
The astronaut that survives.
Well, no.
Jameson's son.
Right.
That's Jameson's son.
Right, but what I mean is the origin, like as far as Spider-Man, the suit becoming Spider-Man's suit. You know,
sure.
I mean,
yeah.
There's no, this origin, people were just wondering, is there going to be some kind of way that Marvel actually gets a Spider-Man cameo and then they combine or whatnot, but that does not happen.
Marvel was smarter than
that. Well, I don't know how that Disney, how that deal works, because I thought the deal is that Marvel would recreate their Spider-Man for the MCU, and then Sony could use Tom Holland when they wanted to use him, but yeah. Now I'm starting to think that's not the case.
No, I think the deal is for Stan Lee.
Yeah, well, that's where they got it. Yeah. But I guess, like, I have to believe that if Sony had the ability to use Tom Holland, they would have used him in this.
Oh, absolutely.
You would think,
I think they wanted to stay as far away. Like, when I saw no Spider-Man in this, I'm like, oh, good job, MCU.
I also have to think that Tom Hardy signed on for this maybe thinking ahead a little bit, where he's like, maybe,
yeah,
if I do this, this will be my in into the Disney MCU.
Yeah. So I mean, jumping right into the movie. So the first scene of the movie, we get the origin of how the symbiotes come to
symbiotes.
Yeah. No, they took that out, which
they
I was really
impressed. Yeah.
The first time we saw the gal in the lab,
Jenny Slate.
Is that a Canadian pronunciation?
No, that's a stupid pronunciation. Like, that was the thing that was so frustrating. The first trailer is you see Jenny Slate and she calls them symbiotes and it sounds so stupid. And there's this big debate and it's like, oh, well, the dictionary says you can pronounce it this way or that way. But like, No, it's not symbiotes. It's symbiotes. Like, yeah, we've heard it pronounced that way on the shows. People have said it that way. So anyway, when she comes on screen and she says it for the first time, I'm like, oh, they refilmed it or ADR'd
it.
Which I was glad. I'm like, I didn't think they would go to the effort, but I guess they were like, yeah, let's not piss off the fans anymore than necessary.
Yeah. Like, if you spend enough money on reshoots, you should have reshot something better than that.
I know. Of all the things that you could fix, that's the one.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Like, this movie's bad enough. We don't need the fans getting angrier at us because we can't pronounce the main character.
I'm gonna pronounce it symbiote for the rest of the show though.
You know what would have been great,
just to remind people,
they should have, instead of fixing that, they should have went in and looped Venom calling someone
an Ooman.
A what?
Like, instead of a human.
Oh.
She's an Ooman. They're an Ooman being.
Oh, don't even get me started on Tom Hardy's weird,
I gotta
accent.
Tell you, this is the most I've been able to understand him with an American accent.
I mean, really?
Yeah.
I had trouble the entire time.
Oh, not at all.
Is there a
and I don't say a boot like we prefaced this by saying that.
Is there a backstory where Eddie Brock is one of the Jerky Boys?
Like, what is going
no,
on?
It's just, it's,
he's a jerk. It's, like, that's it.
It's literally Tom Hardy is British. He has a terrible American accent, and now he's a New Yorker. So he's merging all these things, trying to do an American New York
accent.
Didn't he
do something with a New York accent?
In San Francisco.
Yeah, in San Francisco. Didn't he have a New York accent in Inception that wasn't bad?
No, he's he had his
he's British.
Just the regular.
He's British, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
is that
a
right?
Christopher Nolan movie? Oh, man. I guess they all that's get true. To be yeah. English in that movie, but no, it's like, and I mean, he's already such a mumble mouth. I mean, I like Tom Hardy, but yeah. I want Tom Hardy with an accent, like I want Superman with an accent, Henry Cavill. Like some of these British actors, some are great at dropping the accent,
right?
Some are really bad at the accent, and this thing is weird.
Hardy is he's getting to me now because I'm starting to doubt whether or not he's actually really good, only good in bursts.
Yeah,
right. Only good in bursts. Because the restaurant scene where he's actually going in with the lobsters and whatnot, that is fantastic. I was like, that to take that kind of risk, you know, go for the, you know, the comedy that he was going for in that case, I was like, Jesus Christ, he's fantastic. He looks great in the scene. But then after that, when he's trying to be the interviewer, you're like, why are you walking with so slouch? Why can't you speak correctly? I just couldn't understand like the two differences that he was trying to go for in those sequences.
Nothing about that character says top-notch investigative
journalist. And I'm like,
the thing is like, so Eddie Brock in the comic book version and even the Spider-Man 3 version is a scumbag. Yeah. Like he doctors photos, he lies and he tries to frame up Spider-Man. Peter Parker catches him and he gets fired.
Well, at the end of this movie, clearly the interview he's going for is the Daily Bugle.
They don't say,
probably can't, but I'm saying
why?
Like, they're trying to,
but they can, if they're using John Jameson,
you don't, but no. First of all, you don't know that because
his name in the credits is J. Jameson.
Right, yeah. Right, but that doesn't mean they never mention J. Jonah Jameson. They never mention the Daily Bugle. They say the astronaut's name is J. Jameson.
They say the Daily News or something.
Yeah, and so the whole point is, so what Joe was talking about earlier, you know, there's no solid connection, but if you're a fan of the comics and the show and everything, you know that the origin from the animated series is that J. Jonah Jameson, you know, Spider-Man's boss from the Daily Bugle, Peter Parker's.
It's his son. His son is the...
He was on the airplane. J. Jonah Jameson, the guy that yells at Spider-Man, J.K. Simmons in the original movies, his son is an astronaut, and he goes to outer space, and he brings back Venom.
And he just got back.
Yeah. In the comic books, actually, J. Jonah Jameson becomes a werewolf. John Jameson becomes a werewolf.
Yeah, he's Canadian.
Yeah.
so that is what they're alluding to here. But again, there's no actual mention. Like, I don't know if this is one of those rights things where they're just tiptoeing enough to where they say that. And they're like, well, if we get the rights, of course.
But don't they already have the rights?
The thing is, I don't know the legalities. But guess what? If they had the rights hardcore, you'd be hearing J. Jonah Jameson.
Oh, yeah.
Daily Bugle and
Peter Parker.
Trust me.
Yeah.
So there's a reason why they didn't say it. And it's not because they're like, yeah, we want this to stand on our own. No, these mother effers want as much Spider-Man
as
they can.
When they start to try to spin off Silver Sable or Mobius, the vampire, and it's just like these are all Spider-Man characters.
Jason Momoa would be great as Mobius.
Morbius?
Morbius, yeah.
Yeah, Morbius the vampire.
Yeah.
Hey, don't worry.
Like an offshoot of what the Crow could be. No, get Momoa out of there.
You got Jared Leto, it's fine.
Aquaman shit there.
I know. I'm just saying though.
I don't want to see Momoa anymore.
Well, I don't even want to see
Guess
him as
what,
Aquaman.
Brother? You got a whole month
I know,
of promos.
I know.
Yeah. He was so against it. He won't even drink mimosas.
It's
too close.
Exactly.
It's too close. So yeah, the spaceship crashes. There's one survivor, and it's this astronaut named Jameson. Riz Ahmed plays who I thought was supposed to be initially. Like I didn't realize that he wasn't going to be Carnage. Like, that's what I thought we were doing.
I thought that's what we were doing, too.
And then we get
Riot.
That would have been really weird.
Why does only one of the aliens have a name?
No, there was, like, Sin, and there was Venom, and then there was Riz Ahmed.
I thought that was Riot. That was
Riot.
Riot. That's what his name is.
Sin is the female symbiote.
But I mean, are you really going to have a Cletus Cassidy that isn't, you know, pale white with red crazy hair as they gave us in spoilers, the mid-credits scene?
I got to tell you.
Oh, there was a mid-credits scene?
There was two.
I bailed.
It's
No, there was a mid-credits scene and a preview for Enter the
Which,
Spider-Verse.
I got to tell you, dumb move on Sony's part.
To put that at the end of this, and you're like, oh my God, why didn't I just see that movie?
They show like a 5-minute clip of Into the Spider-Verse.
Yeah.
And you're just like, yeah. Yeah, that looks amazing. Yeah, no pun intended.
That was like the reverse icing on the cake, whatever. That, you know, like you're just like, you watch this piece of crap and then you're like, this looks so fun. Oh,
it was
my God.
Icing on a turd in the wind.
I can't wait.
So, okay, I liked those moments. I like the moments with Tom Hardy talking to himself.
Yeah.
I liked that.
I liked that when it was called All of Me with Steve Martin.
Which is exactly what this is.
It's
the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought, Brian and I
thought, at one point, I thought he was going to try and put Edwina back in the bowl.
But in a better movie, we compliment Marvel for doing this.
Yes.
For making movies.
Absolutely.
Every Marvel movie, or for the most part, at least the first one, everyone is based on a different genre. So they're all different. They all connect, but it's like each one has the director.
But it's one movie, one genre. This right. is one movie, three genres.
Oh, yeah. It's just as split personality as Venom and Eddie Brock. And that is my main problem with this movie is there were glimmers. I mean, the script is atrocious. It's so bad.
Oh, but, it's so bad.
But there are glimmers when Tom Hardy's doing his thing where I'm like, There's something here, and I can't like quite put my finger on it, but in my head, I'm like, okay, this is kind of working for a second, but tonally, the movie is such a shift because what they're doing the thing that DC does, kind of, where they're like, this is successful, let's cram this in it. They're are they trying to make Venom Spider-Man? Are they trying to make him Deadpool? It's like, this is Venom. He's not these other things, but now Eddie Brock is Deadpool.
Yeah.
And it just is so weird because the movie goes from being dark and he's a killer and this thing's biting people's heads off. And then we've got this goofy thing. And then we've got like a romantic comedy. Like,
can I tell you why I think Deadpool's getting a PG-13 release?
Why is that?
Because Disney wants to know if it's going to work.
Oh, Disney, they can make money on a PG.
It's a Disney test.
How did they make a secret Deadpool movie?
I don't know. It's the second one recut.
They recut it.
They didn't have all the information, and we were like, wait a minute, there's a new Deadpool, it's a recut.
I'd never seen that story.
Yeah, it's a recut.
Well, it's been a long time since Hollywood's done that.
I know.
Last time I could remember that was, Grease? Not Grease, Saturday Night Fever?
They recut Saturday Night Fever?
Saturday Night Fever was such a huge hit, they had a PG cut that they put in the theaters.
Oh, because it's pre-PG-13.
Yeah, there was no PG-13 at the time. Yeah.
Here's the reason why I think that is genius, though. Okay, so you have some people going like, oh, you know, Deadpool works because it's R, blah, blah, blah. I agree. Deadpool's great. We can still watch that movie. This is not ruining that. But you know what? There's people out there like my son, who's 9, who I will not let anywhere close to Deadpool. I'll take him to the PG-13 one.
This is to see if they can put Peter Parker Tom Holland and Ryan Reynolds on screen together.
I don't know, man. I mean, my daughters, I didn't show them the first Deadpool because of the sex scene in it, which is, I know it's not a good thing. I'll show them all the violence that they want because they love it. But at the same time, if you see boobs, I'm like, ooh, you know, so
no pegging for your kids. Is that fair to say?
What?
Yeah, what?
No pegging for your kids. That's fair to.
Well, I think that's probably like, what is she doing to him? And I'm like, well,
I was wondering, like, if you have,
you know,
girls,
when you hit your 40s,
you gotta try stuff out, man. You don't even know.
If you have girls, why do you care if they see boobs? All they gotta do is look down.
Well, that's the thing. That's why I took them to see Logan. Okay. And I was like, I don't give a. He's chopping heads off, and there's a sorority girl in the back showing. So I was like, well, eventually they're gonna have them. My girlfriend has them. Everything's fine. But then I showed them Deadpool 2, and they loved it. You know, and that's a rated R film. They didn't really care. I think they got grossed out in the sauna scene.
That's fair.
But that's, you know, but other than that, it was fine.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Venom, I think the only thing that they would actually be scared of is probably the horror elements where there's like these body possessions.
That's the other
thing. You know,
that
creepy, the guy from The Village that they took, I think they just grabbed Adrian Brody's character from The Village and stuffed him in a scientific room. Science.
Yeah.
But that's it. That was probably the only thing that would creep them out.
Well, that's the other thing about this movie. So not only do you have this like dark, violent movie, and then you've got your comedy and your goofy comedy, then you've got your romantic comedy, but then you have this horror movie where they're the people next to me in this theater. These two adults brought their two young kids. I mean, like,
dumbasses.
Young. And I'm just like, you know, because, oh, it's a superhero movie, right?
Yeah.
You know, or whatever, quote unquote. And so I'm looking over at them, and my friend was sitting next to me. I'm like, how are the kids doing over there? Are they having a fun time? Like when the people are getting possessed and dying and blood splatter, goo splattering. And it's like.
But I don't think it's. I don't think. How old were the kids?
They were probably like 7.
I don't know. I mean, they play the video games.
Yeah,
you got
I'm
a kid playing Call
can't.
Of Duty. Yeah, this isn't any big deal.
You're Call of Duty zombies where you're exploding heads.
I got an 11-year-old who's watching It.
Yeah.
You know?
Which version?
The real one. The good one.
There's two good ones.
No, that made-for-TV movie was crap.
Oh, I'm sorry. I haven't even watched the new one, and I know that that one's the good one.
Yeah.
My point is, though, is that this is not a kid's movie. This is like adults. I know it's not as bad, but when I see adults bringing their little kids to Deadpool, and you're like, whoa, you're not in the right movie.
Yeah, that's a bridge too far.
But I'm just like, little kids are not going to be entertained by Venom.
Yeah.
Here's the problem. I think Venom is the... So Venom debut... Let's talk about the comic book version real quick. Todd McFarlane, who is legendary, right?
Right.
First issue of art duties on Amazing Spider-Man, and he creates Venom. Like, that's unheard of, unless you're like Superman.
Right.
You know, like, so this character, it became insanely popular. So he would show up in the book all the time, and he was like the ultimate. Spider-Man couldn't beat him because he was immune to, like, the... Peter's spider sense wouldn't go off when Venom was around.
Well, because Venom became the Spider-Man suit, right? He loses the suit.
So what happens is
Secret Wars
happens. Peter Parker gets the suit. So the suit adapts and enhances all of his powers.
And he's in the suit for like a year.
A long time.
Like in the comic book. Like he has the black suit for a long time.
Yeah, Amazing Spider-Man 252 is the debut of the suit. So he realizes the suit is trying to take him over. While all of this is going on, Eddie Brock has a run-in with Peter Parker. Peter Parker gets him fired. Peter Parker goes to Spider-Man 3 got the origin right.
Bell Tower and all that.
Exactly. So they figure out that the Sonics will take the suit off. The suit falls onto Eddie Brock, who is in the same church just by happenstance. The hatred that Eddie Brock has for Peter Parker, combined with the hatred for Spider-Man for the rejection that it suffered.
That's a connection.
Of the symbiote. They come together. They form Venom.
Yeah.
Venom now has he basically becomes a serial killer because he has all of Peter Parker's information. He knows more. He knows about Aunt May. He knows about Mary Jane. He knows all that stuff. And Peter is helpless against Venom.
And that's also why Venom has a lot of the same abilities.
Yes.
Like Venom, I mean, he has a big spider on his chest in that universe.
I will say, I don't, like, this is the ultimate version of Venom. Like, this is the look of this character. So, like, they get the face. I will say the character looked right. He looked better than Topher Grace did.
If the CG was good, but... I mean, the design is fine.
The design,
but,
I mean. Yeah, the CG's a little
wonky. I don't like
the
design. I didn't like how it looked like a big, muscular guy.
Well, that's what...
Like, to me, Venom was always a little more fluid than that.
No, Venom was... I mean, Eddie Brock looked like...
He's a big guy.
Yeah, he looked like Schwarzenegger.
But this guy looks 15 feet tall. Like, this is really big.
Oh, I see what you're saying. This is like... I compared it to the Ang Lee Hulk.
Yeah,
what it looked like.
Yeah, I like...
Even the opening sequence looked like that, if you guys remember, you know, using all the panels and whatnot.
Yeah.
It seemed like they were going for that beginning as
right,
well.
Right, so, exactly. Anyway. But so he's big and bulky, and he's
I
got,
like him
like,
to be Eddie Brock's big size, like a huge Eddie Brock looking Spider-Man black suit,
not
but,
the size of
but not
Grace.
not a Hulk Venom. You know, I agree with Tom.
That's
a little
kind
off-putting.
Of, it's what they, like, that was the thing in the comic books, is they just kept making him, so you had Todd McFarlane drawing him, and McFarlane definitely has his own style. Then you had Eric Larson drawing him, and Larson at that point was kind of like a McFarlane ripoff.
Yeah, he was a poor man.
And then he did his own thing. Like, he kind of changed his style and did his thing. But, like, they kept drawing him as this giant, bulky creature to counteract, like, the thinner Spider-Man. Like,
I remember him being bulky, but not, like, in a muscular way. Not, like, in a human anatomy. Like, it wasn't as... one-to-one.
I think that's the way McFarlane drew it. Like his art style, when you saw them.
Yeah, if you look at when they introduced Carnage in I think it was in the 90s, I have his second appearance here in my stuff, and, you know, Venom is just a bit taller than Peter Parker is, but he's a massive guy. He's like The Rock standing next to Tom Hardy.
That's
you know what I mean?
The Rock's build is exactly the way Venom would look.
Yeah.
A little bit more exaggerated, but that's pretty close.
Yeah. Okay, so this movie, so your main thing is, so you've got these symbiotes coming from space, and so, you know, and they use all these different colors. I'm looking for the red one. I'm like, why do you not put a red one in there? Especially if they are setting that up. I just thought that was a little odd not to put the red one in there, but okay. So you've got, like, blue and yellow and black, of course, which is the Venom one, and so one of them gets out, right? It the gal that's up in space, it attaches to her, or does it get out after it crashes?
It gets out after it crashes.
Okay.
After it crashes.
So they're able to...
It's on the way in the truck.
Yeah, so you've got this. They're setting up this thing where this symbiote is sneaking away, and you know, it crash landed, and it's taking possession of people. So we get this thing where this is very reminiscent of, I felt like, Mystique in the X-Men movies. Like, it's the same kind of effect when they to show you people are Mystique when her eyes go weird or whatever. Right. So it keeps taking over people, and their eyes are turning white or whatever, bright white, and you know it's Venom. And so anyway, so it's on its way, and so we find out Riz Ahmed is the head of this
Life Corporation.
Okay. And so they're basically trying to do all these genetic experiments, and they're doing all this under the radar testing on humans. I mean, they eventually get there with this suit, but they're doing all these weird pharmaceutical trials.
No, the one that gets away is Rampage. It's not Venom.
Oh.
It's the one that Riz Ahmed gets.
It's Riot.
Oh, yeah, Riot. Yeah. Okay.
Venom shows up, is in one of the canisters.
Okay.
Yeah. Because he possesses... It was
the woman he gives $20 to, the homeless woman.
Ah,
that played music. She's the one they trap her because they're taking people off the streets in order to test these things. He finds her when the doctor is like, well, go do your investigative journalism under all these weird circumstances. Just go in there. You know, don't protect yourself. Know nothing. Right, and he tries to break her free. And then after that, she jumps on top of him. And then
she gives merges him with
that. That's right. Okay. So the one that escapes eventually will become the villain of the movie. Yes. Not Carnage. And so now we flash forward. And yes, so Eddie Brock is this, like, to me, he came off as more of like an Alex Jones type character.
It was like, Geraldo.
I guess I'm like, this guy, like, he has his own little, I guess because of these web shows or you see these clips from things, and I'm like, oh my god, are they making him Alex Jones? Not as hateful, obviously.
Shane Dawson type guy.
I don't even know who that is.
Yeah, if you say so.
Is that a Canadian dude?
He's the guy who's making these profiles on like Logan Paul or Jake Paul or stuff like that. You know, these things where they try to pass this off as like real documentary filmmaking, and you're like, no, this is a guy with a camera and time on his hands. That's all it is.
So he's hitting the street, and you see the Eddie Brock report, and it's all these different things that he's investigated, and then eventually he goes to the what does he work for?
It's weird.
Big news corporation.
They even reference the fact that he got in trouble in New York.
Yeah.
So at your previous job when you got in trouble, and I was just like, so. I guess for the non-comic nerds, that means that's just giving you context as to why he has a bad New York accent and is in San Francisco.
Yeah, that's how
I took
it.
For us, I was just like, well, you're totally telling us that he doctored a photo of Spider-Man and got, you know,
See how you thought that way, but they don't actually say that.
Yeah,
it, but they never mention any connection like that. But so anyway, so he goes to his big news corporation, and the boss tells him, you have to go interview Riz Ahmed's character.
This guy was supposed to be the wizard in Shazam and passed it up to do this character instead of...
Oof.
Yeah. And then they got the guy from Guardians to be the wizard.
Is this the guy from This Is Us?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, he was also on Luke Cage. He's a fantastic actor.
Yeah, he is.
And he does everything he can in these scenes.
He does.
Yeah.
Yes. So we should also mention Eddie Brock is his fiance as a lawyer, and she is representing, like, her law firm is representing Carlton Drake, who's Riz Ahmed's character. So, you know, that always works out well.
You know, you're a bad guy when your name is, when you have two first names. Carlton Drake.
Well, when your name is Drake, you know, you're a bad guy. True. That's pretty much right. But
hey, he's Canadian.
Oh, sorry, Degrassi. We apologize.
I'm
sorry for pointing that out.
Ass whooped last night at the fights.
Oh, he was there?
Yeah, he was front and center in front of Conor McGregor's people.
Oh, boy.
Did someone hit him?
He was close. I mean, when Habib jumped over the railing and was just swinging on anything that came within arm's reach of him. Sure.
I was like, who gets mad at Drake?
It was a kerfluffle.
It was a big mess.
Go look it up. It's interesting.
The guy who runs this news corporation has kind of said, look, we like the Brock report. Like, it gets crazy hits, but you have to do this fluff piece.
Drake is requesting it. Like, he's got all this money, and he says he can buy and sell our corporation. I mean, we need to do this piece.
We have to do this fluff piece and
make it good. You're there to represent their research. Basically, they're trying to push the space shuttle crash under the rug.
But at the same time, Eddie Brock, who is, they try to make him a nice guy. They try really hard to make him a good dude.
This is the problem with taking Eddie Brock and making him a hero.
Right. And they do that in the comic books all the time. Like, he's been a hero before, kind of like the anti-hero. Like,
yeah, they always figure out ways to where he's a villain, but in this specific storyline,
he's very likable.
He's doing the right thing, but he's still doing it by killing lots of people.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's funny, like, in the comic books, he's threatened to, like, eat Mary Jane's face. And then you're just, then like, you know, 20 issues later, Spider-Man has to team up with him and he's a good guy. And I was like, you know, he threatened to eat your wife's face off.
Mm-hmm.
Just putting that out there, Spider-Man.
So he gets into, and Anne is Michelle Williams, I should mention.
Paycheck's a paycheck.
Good for her cashing in.
I think it's funny that somehow they've reissued Kate Mara's wig from the Fantastic Four.
I went even farther back. I thought they were, if this was going to be a throwback, I thought this was the 2000s Halle Berry's wig from X-Men, and then they just dunked it in some blonde stuff, and then he repurposed it for that.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty good. So he breaks into her laptop, and I was like, well, you're already a scumbag. Like, why are you breaking into your girlfriend's laptop?
And
downloads and steals her the briefing that she has.
I mean,
has.
He was just trying to check her Facebook messages, but he stumbled upon this research for the Drake Corporation.
Fondled memories of my ex-girlfriend. Keep going.
Just turning on the location services so he can track her phone.
Find my iPhone. So he finds out all this stuff about this illegal pharmaceutical testing.
Dead astronauts and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So he goes and he's doing the fluff piece and things are going okay. Like, he's asking the right questions. He's getting him to talk about the things that the Life Corporation has done, and then he hits him with the lawsuit.
Drops knowledge that only insiders would have, and Drake is like, how are you getting this information?
He's like, what's your source?
It's known, he's just trying to get out of it, but, you know, he says this interview's over, kicks him to the curb, and then we find out that because, of course, the company knows about Michelle Williams and him being together, they fire Michelle Williams.
They fire Eddie Brock. They fire Michelle Williams, and this is the point where I was like, so this is, I thought it was a really smart way to put Eddie, to make Eddie the character from the comic books.
To make him mad.
Where he's lost everything.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, like I can deal with that, where he made the bad decision, he tried to, you know, and he screwed it up, and he's lost everything.
Right.
For a guy who has no money, that was a dope-ass apartment. His single in San Francisco.
In San Francisco.
I was like, what is your income like where you can afford that? So he's lost everything.
She gives back the ring. So they're engaged, and she gives back, like, this is...
He cost her her job.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying. So,
I mean, don't you think she overreacted a tad?
I think
No, I don't.
I don't at all.
I think she works for a firm who works for, like, this version of Lex Luthor, who has all of this power throughout every little faucet or facet of this San Francisco community. He screws up and breaks into her laptop, takes information that only she should be privy to, and then uses that and posts the interview on the internet where it's just against her client, her law firm's client.
It totally sucks, but on the other hand, like, they set it up. They are so in love and so serious about the relationship.
And what that makes that breach even worse.
He
hacked her laptop and then violated lawyer-client confidentiality.
Oh, man. If these two people were Canadian, that would have been patched up in a flash. It would have been, I'm sorry, I should have shared the information with the company with you to help your career. Like, no, I'm sorry I broke into your laptop. Yeah. It's just been this back and forth,
further his career
in
a public way that everybody knows where this information came from, and then she loses.
He's done.
I think it sucks. I agree with Jason. I feel like it was a little too strong, but they have to move the story along. I get it. We can't have them trying to work it out or whatever. I totally get it for pacing purposes, but for me, I'm like, oh god, they're going from being totally in love and engaged to be married to, I'm done with you.
And then she finds a dude not too long after that. We're talking about what?
6 months earlier.
6 months, and she's with a doctor now.
And he's got the key to her apartment, so, like, it's serious.
That's a little quick.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie.
You never know. You can't judge somebody's...
No, I'm judging her right now. But I can totally judge her.
She went from being engaged to having a guy with her apartment key, you know, whatever that means, moved in or staying off. And like, you know,
he's staying.
Wow, there's a little bit of phallic imagery there. Come on now. Yeah. The key inside the socket. Let's go.
So 6 months
Let's
later...
Shy away from it.
You know, Eddie... I mean, Eddie's been fired. He's down on his luck.
I don't know, man. I don't think he's down on his luck. That sweet ass apartment begs to differ.
No, that's called bad writing. He's down on his luck. Fair. Somehow he has no money.
He's like Friends, man. Everyone's living off Rachel.
Yeah, right. He needed to have like, you know, like a hole in the wall.
Yeah.
Drop like the bed that is like inside the wall.
He should have.
That he has to pull down.
Yeah.
Like that's what he should have.
Why does Peter
like
Parker
from
have
Roger
crappier,
Rabbit stuff?
You know,
yeah, it's true. Peter Parker always has a garbage apartment or garbage roommates.
And he has a job.
Or he's leeching. Well, not always. But
but I mean, you know, for the most
more
part.
More often than not.
Yeah. I mean, you know, yeah. And
taking pictures of that damn Spider-Man.
Yeah, he gets the pictures. He gets done. So
if
anyway.
If they don't cast J.K. Simmons as Jameson again. That's a mistake.
I don't think you can.
I mean, he's Commissioner Gordon, too, which is weird.
Commissioner Gordon in a movie that's never going to matter.
But he's already in a different universe.
That Commissioner Gordon, you're gonna see him in Justice League, and that's it. I think you'll never see him again.
I think so, too.
Yeah, I just think that would be a bad idea.
Yeah.
Go back and get Bryan Cranston.
How often do they
fix the whole thing?
How often do they cross over between universes? Like, that's the whole reason they recast. Like, I just don't know that they can. Take someone
mean?
From the old Spider-Man.
Oh,
universe.
I see what you're saying.
It's a different. It would connect them. People, they would bring that up.
It would have been great if Uncle Ben was Tobey Maguire.
Yeah. So we see him, you know, and
he's a little young. just kill him anyway.
So we see Eddie Brock. You know, he's just down on his luck. He goes to this little convenience store, but we see how good of a person he is. He's helping out the homeless lady.
Guy who's down on his luck who gives the homeless gal $20
because he's such a great guy. That's what I'm saying. He's just heart of gold.
Yeah, right.
Sometimes,
But just
whatever you do, homeless lady, don't let him near your laptop. you could lose your job as a homeless lady.
But you know
she does, man. Just because she knows him.
Yeah. But you know
that's it. You're getting a house.
But his writing, I agree. Also, besides the tone we talked about, the Eddie Brock writing is just so uneven because they want to make him such a good, likable character, and I really wish they would have made him a little more of a villain, and then he could be an anti-hero.
Him Frank Castle.
Yeah.
Frank Castle is not a likable character.
But you sympathize.
But you root for him.
You empathize.
You don't
sympathize.
Yeah, you empathize.
Most of us don't. Right.
But Eddie Brock is Eddie Brock in this movie is a hero. He's not an anti-hero. They make him a hero. Venom
is the anti-hero.
He's bad for a while, but talk about a weird shift.
You've changed my mind, Eddie.
Oh, but he literally, that's what he said. He's like, I've thought about it, and now I want to fight the bad guy. Like, it's so weird.
Yeah, so the plan is the symbiotes are coming, like, they want to come to Earth and just take it over and use it for its resources and leave.
Riz Ahmed wants to cure cancer using their alien abilities.
Which these, I mean, we see that sometimes the symbiotes can heal. Heal their host, like the woman that Riot possesses, like has a shattered leg. We should also say this is written and directed by Ruben Fletcher, who did Zombieland, which is
great.
It's great.
Gangster Squad, if you take it for what it is fun. Like, it's not a good movie.
I enjoyed Gangster Squad and 20 times more than this movie.
Absolutely,
certainly.
Granted, the cast is a little bit better on Gangster Squad, but and then he did. Some other weird romantic comedy that wasn't good.
Yeah.
And then this. So, like, he has a pedigree. Like, this, I just don't know. I don't think a solo Venom movie works.
No, the problem is, again, they don't know what they want to do with this movie. Do they want to make it a rated R super violent movie? Oh, no, this isn't tracking well. Let's make it PG-13, which obviously was smart choice.
Yeah.
We didn't mention it, but it broke records. This is the biggest Thursday night opening in October, $10 million. It was on track to make $50 million. It is now on track to make $75 million after a huge Saturday. So the PG-13 was the right move. They're making the money on the box office.
I think PG-13 is usually the right move when it comes to, you know, that's your money. That's where you're gonna do it. I mean, Deadpool, problem with Deadpool is it gave credence to the rated R stuff, and I feel like people will try to copy that, and it worked for both Deadpools and it worked for Logan.
Those are also very different R-rated movies.
They are very different R-rated movies, and they both work perfectly.
Yes.
And I like the idea of making a PG-13 cut. Like, I think that character needs to be R to really...
Deadpool?
Yeah, to be true to the character.
But you're going to get a director's cut when it comes out on Blu-ray.
There's
40 minutes on the cutting room floor.
40 minutes of footage from this movie that have been cut to make it PG-13.
And it's also... all CG, so it's clear, like, when Tom Hardy finally merges with the symbiote and becomes Venom, and he's tearing people up, so he sneaks into the lab because
Jenny Slate comes to say, she's like, look, he's killing people, right, he's killing people in there, you gotta do this.
So he sneaks in the worst security lab in history.
Oh yeah, it's been, like,
there's one rent-a-cop work on the floor, and she's like, oh hey, how's it going?
And he was just like, oh hey man.
Oh, Joe's throwing stuff.
Yeah. So ridiculous.
Also, no security cameras in this ultra sensitive lab.
Nope.
Like, there's not a guard looking at a bunch of cameras. Like, he is walking around this high end multi-billion-dollar research lab.
He's not even walking around in, like, the main floor. Like, he's walking around in the laboratory.
Yeah, like, there wouldn't be cameras.
That's a funny thing, because that's the one thing that happened here in Canada. If you look at Bowling for Columbine, when people walk into people's houses in Canada, they just open the doors and everyone's like, hey, come on in for coffee or tea or something like that. It feels like this lab was there where people were like, nah, back door's open, everyone can just wander in, everything seems fine.
Yeah, the security is so stupid, where it's like, no, this gal, I mean, I get that she tried to sneak him in, but then, like, she sneaks him in by him ducking down in the car, but then they get out of her car and are just walking around freely, and I'm like, no one is gonna see them just walking around without clearance. It's stupid is what it
right.
is.
Right. So he finds the homeless woman in one of the cells. He gets possessed by it. Venom joins up with Eddie, and the problem is they haven't been able to figure out why the symbiotes are just tearing through.
Remember this. Remember how hard it is for a symbiote to match with a host. Remember that now from when we talk about it jumping around willy-nilly later.
Which is a plot point that they completely let go of.
Yeah.
We're just like,
it's
hard
to find a match. Oh my God, Eddie Brock is a match. One match. We found him.
Oh, nope. Michelle Williams.
Riz Ahmed is. Oh, like.
Yeah, but they pointed out in the film at one point that someone had matched and stayed with them for 3 days. So it depends, you know, even if they're killing the individual, I think there was this the guy that they have strapped to a chair at one point,
the black dude,
they infected him a little bit earlier, and then after that, 3 days later, he died.
But
so
he,
I mean, if Michelle
good,
Williams
though.
Character has it for just like an hour or something like that, maybe she's still okay.
That's fair. They're not dying instantly,
right? That's true.
Yeah,
that's true.
But he was, I mean, it's like he wasn't looking good, and it jumps around.
Look, Kevin, do you want Venom boobs or do you not want Venom boobs?
Because guess what, brother,
she looked great. I was like, She Venom is there. That's fantastic. I mean, I was like, yay, comic reference.
Yeah, right, exactly, yeah. Ugh. So this is kind of based off Lethal Protector a little bit. Like, that's kind of where this is based off of, because another reason I know that is because those issues spiked when this was announced and the previews came out. They're like, and of course, those were like selling for, you know, $50 a pop because it was a movie. Now you can probably get them for like $3. Maybe a little bit less than cover after this came out.
So he tries to
save. Well, no, not based on six. Not based,
I guess that's
I
true.
Mean, the box office is solid.
It's making money. So he, like just said, he sees the homeless lady. She's not doing well. She's freaking out. He's trying. So he takes a chair or whatever, a canister, throws it through the window.
Yeah.
That finally sets off some alarms where I guess a couple rent-a-cops could come save the day.
Right.
And he fights them all off in this big scene. But
I have Lethal Protector. I have multiples.
Well.
Nice.
Move them.
Good work. Yeah. Sell them now while they're hot. But so anyway, so you can tell in this scene what I was getting at was, I mean, you can tell this was a violent rated R scene. It's all CG, but bodies are flying around and laid out, and all they had to do was select all blood, delete. You know, I mean, clearly there is a cut where it had all these blood and gore effects applied.
Looking at Zombieland, you're absolutely correct.
Yeah, I mean, you could just tell that these kills were violent, and all they did now is throw the bodies around with no blood.
I felt like Ruben Fleischer is like the poor man's Edgar Wright. You know, like, I mean,
sounds like a bit of a compliment, but okay.
Sure.
A little too much of a compliment.
That's probably fair. Yeah.
I don't know, man. Even the way that the scenes were set up, I didn't think that this was any, you know, particularly, I don't see the comparison that you're trying to make there.
Well, I think they both,
even,
they
I mean,
both
they,
did.
They even have Matthew Libatique as a cinematographer on this, and, you know, he's been working with Darren Aronofsky for so long, and then I'm looking at this, and everything is so flat.
Yeah. It's,
and even the blocking, the way that they're putting the characters in the scenes, in the introduction.
Yeah.
When Brock goes in at the beginning, the man's turned towards the window and he's looking outside and he's like, oh, you never get tired of this view. It's like, why do you start to see with that? Who gives a God? That's not the point of the scene.
Yeah, it's really not.
I can't see the Edgar Wright reference. Sorry.
Well, I mean, like,
there Edgar, he goes apologizing again.
Yeah, Edgar, and we got a sorry.
Yeah. Edgar Wright, you know, in Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz had that, was able to use like CGI blood and the gore and like in the comedy, where I feel like Zombieland copied it.
You can definitely tell he's trying to channel because he did Zombieland.
And Zombieland is basically the American Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah, yeah, but he's never done it again.
Yeah.
I think Gangster Squad.
No. No, not
did that not
close.
Have any gore in it?
But it's not.
But there's not funny. But,
oh, I think it's supposed to be.
But the point is
on
here.
On purpose? I laughed at it, but I didn't I didn't feel like that was their goal.
But here you've got this dark, violent Venom, but now you have all this comedy, too, and he's clearly trying to Zombieland the joint up. But what it makes is a tonally awkward film that just doesn't
I just
ever
meant
find
like, so Edgar Wright does Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz, and then Ruben Fleischer does Zombieland and another cop movie. Like, you see what I'm saying? Like, that is similar. Okay. And then
we get it. That's fine. But this...
And then Edgar Wright did Baby Driver, and everybody's like, well, all right.
Let's talk about Venom's voice.
So is this Fleischer's Baby Driver?
No. Well, maybe, I guess.
I hated the voice.
Oh, I liked
this.
It.
Really?
I was fine with it.
I didn't like it at all.
That's one thing where I'm like, he sounds like Venom. Like, that's how
I
would
sound
like.
Like.
Yeah, you know, the way they pencil it in most of the time with that little black bubble on top of it. I was like, that sounds like the growl that
to Venom me, it was too on the nose. Like, I wanted something.
You wanted to Christian Bale it up?
I wanted something that wasn't what I thought it sounded like.
I wanted it to be Venom like
but,
us.
But made me feel like, yes,
hunger.
That's it.
You wanted to do the, what was the character in The Magnificent Seven? Vincent D'Onofrio's character.
I love that character. The big brawly guy that was like, hey, guys.
No, and I don't necessarily mean going that direction, but like, I just thought, like, it was just like, it to me, that was such the obvious choice.
To me, it didn't bother. It was exactly how I thought Venom. It sounded similar even to the cartoon. Like, in my head, I'm thinking, like, it's that dark.
I've never seen the cartoon.
Rough
so.
Voice.
Don't.
Like,
it does not hold up. But yeah, that's...
It's, unlike what? This.
Look, like, that Spider-Man cartoon does not hold
the
up.
The animated series?
No.
Oh, I will disagree with you 100%, sir. That's my favorite, probably my favorite right after Batman the animated series. I love
are you
Spider-Man.
You think Spider-Man is better than Superman?
I'm not a Superman guy, and I never watched Justice League.
You never watched the Justice
League? I'm a Spider-Man and Batman guy.
We share DC Universe the app.
Yeah.
Go watch Justice League.
I will. I'm just
it's
saying.
It's so good.
I've just got to disagree with the Spider-Man thing.
Spider-Man. Oh, is that worth a purchase?
Wait for some... If you're a DC
nerd... If
you can
split it with three people, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. If you're a DC nerd, I think it's worth it.
I can't get my kids to pay yet. You know, that's the problem.
Hey, your allowance, you just did all that work. Thank you. We're splitting
exactly.
DC Universe.
Go watch Suicide Squad. Yeah.
If you're a DC nerd, it's worth it right now because it's got all of the old stuff on there.
Right.
But I think once the original content starts coming out, I think it'll be worth it.
Yeah, that Titans trailer looked terrible.
Yeah, we'll
Yikes.
See. Yeah, Batman's a killer, so that's why I left. Yeah, that sounds like Batman.
Jeff Johns.
But anyway,
right there.
That's another.
So he's sick. He can't figure out he's eating food out of the trash, and he's eating anything he can get his
that
hands on.
That was a gross scene.
It was super gross. I was like, okay, like if we can do this movie, just like a gross horror comedy action movie, I don't know.
But he like he blackouts after eating every bit of trash and scrap of gross stuff. He loves tater tots. Venom loves. Is that a thing?
I've read Venom since 1989, and I've never known tater tots to be a thing.
Because in this
product placement,
in this or Ida is really loving this.
They're like, woohoo!
But in this movie, Venom, whenever he's doing his split thing, Venom's like, it's not alive.
Tater tots.
But he's like, it's not alive. Like Venom wants to eat living organisms.
That is a thing.
But he loves tater tots. Those are the furthest thing.
Because they're great.
It's a potato.
Maybe they're living.
Yeah. So the Life Corporation guys, they figure out the Jenny Slate squealed. She says, I brought in Eddie Brock. They come to take out Eddie Brock, and Eddie Brock goes halfway Venom. So the symbiote starts to protect Eddie Brock at every, you know, it's kind of, it's weird.
Self-preservation.
Did you ever see Upgrade? Did you see that yet?
No.
See, a lot of people are comparing it to Upgrade.
It is very much like Upgrade.
With not Tom Hardy?
With the other,
He looks exactly like Tom Hardy.
But with a better American accent.
But
yeah, that's the dude from Prometheus, isn't it?
Yes.
Logan Marshall. Logan Green? Logan Marshall Green or something?
That's not Tom Hardy.
He's got three names.
Yeah, Logan Marshall Green, I believe, is the actor.
Yeah.
But so Tom Hardy now, like Joe said, he's sick. He's sweating a lot. The symbiote is making him very sick. And so he's trying to cool down. And that's where we get this scene that Jason was talking about that he really liked, the dinner scene. Like, out of context, I liked it because I'm like, whoa, this is really weird and funny and awkward. But again, with the tone, I'm just like, what are we doing here? It's so zany and weird.
He takes these guys out. He gets really sick. He goes to see Michelle Williams and her new boyfriend, And in the process of, like, he's going insane. So, like, he's taking a cooked steak off of the plate and he's chewing it. He's like, it's too cooked. So he jumps into, and they show this lobster cage.
Yeah.
The opening scene with a
tank. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah. In the opening scene.
You're welcome.
Yeah,
right. A lobster cage.
Lobster cage. That's what it is, right? They're in a cage.
Rock lobster. The ones that put in the water in the ocean.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. And, like, they show it in the beginning of the scene.
You know,
either he's just going to reach in there and grab one and eat it, but he goes full Bruce Wayne and jumps into the tank and just picks one up and just chomps into it. And I do like Michelle Williams, like, oh, we've got a problem.
The other thing that's so stupid about this is the head of the restaurant's like, yeah, we're calling the police. And the doctor's like, no, don't do that.
He's
like,
my patient.
How easily can you talk out a restaurant from
also,
a crazy person assaulting their customers?
But he's a doctor. They convince people.
He's in San Francisco, which is, sorry, land of the liberals. Where they're just like, well, maybe he is sick.
That's
Let's
true.
Give him the benefit of the doubt.
Oh, I know, but it's
I feel like that's a fair assessment.
Yeah.
I know I always, like, you're writing their script for them, but
no,
this wasn't so blatantly set in San Francisco.
Oh, man, Joe just said that like it's a dirty thing. The land of the liberals.
I mean, it's, look,
it's liberalism.
Is it too much?
Yeah,
is it that bad?
It's a little bad.
I've never been.
Dude, like, they have a problem right now because they won't tell people no, and, like, they won't get on. They have a problem, like, they're so coddling to the homeless, there's literal, like, piles of human the street.
Yep.
Because people.
Oh, okay. We don't have that problem here.
Yeah. People just literally.
We're not that nice.
Just poop in the street.
They're just like, oh, they're just having a rough day.
Yeah.
Like, well, okay. He also just took a crap on the street.
Yeah.
So whatever.
So that's
are
a
they
little
gonna put
different.
Those doggy bags in places, you know, where they can just.
No, they're just. No.
So this is where the doctor takes Eddie back to the hospital and he does the scan.
He does an MRI.
True to the character, I mean, this
Sonics
is like this,
and fire.
The sound wave. So they do the test on him and it starts to
sound wave isn't in this movie.
Well, I wish he was. But so he
next
does
year.
The CAT scan, I guess, is what
yeah,
it is. And
yeah.
That sends the waves that start separating venom. And I did kind of like the weird, creepy, gross out, like when his eyes, like when
yeah,
he, well,
he kind of starts to get the white eyes and the big mouth.
To combine
yeah.
Eddie Brock with Venom and the merging and stuff. There's some weird, cool imagery there. But
yeah.
They eventually get the thing loose. And they trap it behind.
Oh, no, like, that's the second time.
I know, but.
But yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
So we should say that he finally becomes. He goes full Venom, and we get to see the look, and he's got, like, the, instead of having the big white spider, he's got, like, white veins on his, like, all his veins, instead of having,
yeah,
like,
that was weird, I didn't like that.
I didn't
all.
Mind it, because it was, like, I get that they obviously cannot reference Spider-Man, so they're trying to do, like, little things that will invoke that costume, because that costume's
yeah.
pretty iconic, even the one that Spider-Man wore,
yeah,
is a very iconic, still very popular costume.
Oh man, it looked like a really violent dildo.
You're not wrong. Yeah, the giant penis in his mouth.
There's that too. Yeah.
So now you've got like this weird buddy cop movie where you've got Venom and Eddie, who I like. Did you ever see Locke?
Yeah. No, that was great dynamic. Yeah, you're
like
right
he's the only one. It's John Locke. That's not right. It's Tom Hardy in a car by himself.
Oh yeah! I saw that. That was
right.
That was good. The ending was a little meh, but
yeah, they left you. Yeah,
but no, that was good.
What they did here, like they're kind of doing the same thing here, where like I like the dynamic of Eddie and Venom, and like them talking to each other, where you know people are just like he's walking down the street talking to Venom, and people are like, "What are you saying?" He's like, "Nothing. Sorry, no, I'm not saying anything." Fast forward.
All of me.
Yeah, right. Exactly. It's exactly what it is. So now Venom and Eddie have to go take the fight to Riz Ahmed.
This is probably of all the problems I have with this movie, the shift of Venom's character to wanting
to just kill
people to seriously in one line, I'm like, did I miss something? Did I fall asleep? All of a sudden, Venom, he's like, I've decided that I do not want to take over the world and
I want to stay here.
I want to fight Riot.
Right.
Like it is so dumb the way the character shifts.
Yeah. And then we get a big CG monster fight.
And this
which
is so
like, if we haven't
that was weird, yeah.
If we haven't learned our lesson with CG monster fights,
they're so boring and uninteresting. This whole time, I'm like, is this going to end? It's long. It's stupid. It's not cool. I mean,
no,
I feel
it sounds like this show.
But it's, you know, this is like maybe back in the 90s when they discovered CG.
This would have been amazing.
And it's like, okay, that's cool. But we've seen so many great fight scenes, such great choreography, such great practical effects. And sometimes CG works. But when you get one of these big, dumb CG 5-minute monster fights, I'm like looking at the clock like, okay, I get it. They're bashing each other, but they're just big fake characters. And so there's no, you know, there's no stakes. It just feels so.
I think the only time it really worked is I actually like the fight sequence in The Incredible Hulk. Like that last scene between the Hulk and the Abomination.
Is that Edward Norton?
Yeah, it's okay. The Ed Norton Hulk.
Yeah,
and I like
didn't
that,
like that at all.
See, I think that's one of the, that might be next to Iron Man 3, like the second most polarizing of the Marvel movies, of the MCU stuff.
People don't realize. A lot of people don't realize.
I love that. That's a great Hulk movie.
Yeah.
That's a very good Hulk movie. I keep dropping it down. I was like, it's great. Nah, it's pretty good. Nah, it's all right. But that's what this scene was. And like that scene where the symbiotes are like break apart, like in 1997,
that would have blown your mind.
Yeah. When like the whole, yeah, like all of it. And
that,
now,
that is the only cool shot in this entire movie is when him and it's both symbiotes or Venom and Riot are fighting,
yeah,
and then all of a sudden the
rocket takes off.
The rocket like does the sound wave thing, and yeah, then Eddie and
Riz-Ahmad.
Drake are visible inside the suits. Like that was a cool slow motion shot. Like I like
that. It looked like a comic book cover
it
that you want to have as a kid. Yeah, man.
Honestly, so, you're right. It looked like a Clayton Crane, yeah, cover.
I saw that and like, I was like, cool shot. That was the only time I said that during,
right,
this movie.
So anyway, the Riot gets onto the spaceship. Venom somehow blows up the spaceship and kills Riz Ahmad. And now Venom lands and
he locks him in there somehow, right? Because he makes it explode and then he's like, ah, you're trapped. One way ticket.
Yeah, and then
or whatever.
He just like drags it down. And then
he makes it explode because he drags down the side of it. And
right.
So it just combusts or whatever.
And explodes, yeah. So then we cut to like 2 weeks later.
Well, this is the weird thing too. Venom. So Eddie Brock lands in the water and Venom is presumed dead here.
Right.
Like it's like, yeah, and then, because we see him out of the suit, and Venom again, now they're in love. Venom, goodbye, Eddie. I love you. You know, like they have this big dramatic thing that who cares? Like, does anyone really care about these characters?
No.
Like, they want to make you feel sorry that Venom and his lover, Eddie Brock, are being separated. Yeah. And it's like, I don't care.
It's interesting because the idea that the symbiote is killing Eddie is a thing that they use in the comic books, is that this, because Eddie wore the suit for so long, like it caused, yeah, him to have cancer.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm, that's why he got rid of it. And he becomes anti-venom.
It's a parasite.
It is a parasite. And the story. So anyway, Michelle Williams.
2 weeks later, Michelle Williams is comforting Eddie.
We should also say they did kiss. Like Michelle Williams somehow got the symbiote after it came off Eddie Brock.
But that was Venom. Venom was coercing,
right,
her to, you know, kiss him.
Sure,
or,
we'll go with that.
But then in this 2 weeks later, Venom's presumed dead, and she's like, "I'm so sorry about Venom." Like they're talking about Venom, like he's this, like he isn't,
yeah,
chopping
like
heads off and
dog,
killing people. It's like she's like, "I'm so sorry about your special relationship with your special guy, Venom." Like, and it's like, no, this guy is killing people. He's scary. He took your body over.
Right,
like,
right.
I laughed out loud when I heard that line.
Yeah, it was. It's so dumb that she tries to make Venom into this sympathetic,
right,
hero character.
And then, of course, we hear Venom's voice inside Eddie's head where he's just like, you should tell her. And he's like, nah, it's all right.
And it's just kind of weird because at this point I'm like, okay, is there...
So now it's liar, liar.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Or Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yeah.
But I'm like, is there a cut of this movie? Like, they never even show, like, the Venom, like, slinking away. They don't allude to it. Like, somehow Venom is just not dead. Like,
right.
I just wish there was some kind of explanation as to what happened. But
yeah. Then we get the scene in the trailer. This is the scene that I thought... This is like, so you get it in the trailer, and I saw the beginning of this movie, I was like, well, that's your ending part.
Yeah.
Like, that's the end part of this movie, is the where he attacks the stereotypical Mexican guy.
This is the foreshadowing,
yeah,
earlier, because,
yes,
this guy is apparently holding, he asks the convenience store owner for protection money and holds her at gunpoint. He gets the money. Eddie doesn't do anything about it when he's the down on his luck, sad sap or whatever. Same scene happens again,
yeah,
but this time Venom eats the guy.
Eats the guy.
Yeah.
And then of course I do like the line where he's like, oh, that, yeah, I got, yeah, a parasite.
But the whole turd in the wind thing.
That was
what,
like,
the
but
hell?
Also, like, I don't think turds roll in the wind.
I don't know. I
guess it makes sense,
yeah,
now that I think about it, because you're in San Francisco. where people poop in the street.
See? And there's big hills.
And there's giant
hills.
Yeah. I'm rethinking this entire movie.
But they were trying to put an exclamation point at the end of this movie that was so cool with the Venom face going halfway off.
I didn't mind that.
And he says,
oh, I thought that was stupid.
And it was so dumb. When they did that, I'm like, it would have been cooler if it was just Venom saying we, whatever. But like, to show his face like
and the
that.
Whole, we are Venom.
We are Venom.
Oh,
yeah.
Bum, ba-dum, actually, bum, 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 bum. Like, what are we doing?
No.
Also starring J.K. Simmons.
Yeah.
This movie, this script is so terrible.
I didn't mind when Venom and Eddie Brock would say we. Like, that is a thing from the comic books.
That's
like,
fine for the character, but ending it like it was supposed to be badass. Oh, yeah. No, we, blah, blah, whatever. We are Venom. Like, no. Just.
So then the mid-credit sequence is, so Eddie tells Michelle Williams, he's like, I have a massive interview that I like. He asked specifically for me, and of course, I leaned over to Brian. I was like, "It's
Cletus
Cassidy."
I did the same thing with my friend John. Like, if you know the comics and you know they're trying to set this up for a sequel, it's got to be Carnage, right?
And we knew that Woody Harrelson was in this movie.
No, we didn't. You did because
I did.
I didn't know.
I knew. I was like, what?
Yeah, I knew he was cast, but they never said who he was.
Yeah, I mean, he's a Ruben Fleischer guy, a Zombieland. We know when I saw this, I'm just like,
okay.
Oh my God.
And when he walks in, and they show him in that wig.
Carrot Top and Ronald McDonald had a kid.
Yeah. Spath and I both just started laughing.
Yes.
Because the wig is, he looks like Carrot Top.
It's so bad. I mean,
and of course, Cletus Cassidy has like crazy red hair.
Yeah.
And he becomes.
But he's Irish. It makes sense. Redhead.
You can't trust them.
But yeah, it's not just like an obnoxious wig on some bald guy's head.
No.
It's goofy.
It's Woody Harrelson just.
It's just Woody Harrelson
turning it up to 11.
It's him being Woody Harrelson with a goofy red wig on his head.
So there's
I'd love it if they put this, you know, and this is exactly what happens, is that he loses the symbiote at one point, and then it launches into natural born killers.
Yeah.
I'd love it if that was the
Carnage is an offshoot of Venom. Like, he calls Venom father or dad. So, like, that's going to be how that's going to happen, I don't know. But.
Yeah, because they're supposed to. You know, in the comics, they share a jail cell together,
right?
And that's why, you know.
Yeah.
The sad thing is, I would have,
because it reproduces asexually.
Right. I left this movie thinking, oh well, on the upside, I'll never have to see another one of
these. Oh no, you're seeing another one.
But now apparently it's $75 million open weekend. I'm gonna see.
You're gonna get
one of
these. Venom : Maximum Carnage.
Oh, I got Venom in my colon.
So here's the messed up thing. Right. You get to the end of the credits, and they show you a 5-minute clip of Into the Spider-Verse, and it's phenomenal.
I'm still trying to cope with the animation style.
I was with you until I saw it on the big screen in like for more than 2 minutes.
The only thing I don't like is, okay, so basically it's anime CG. It's lower frames per second, so it's choppy. The art direction
it's very much like
beautiful
a comic book.
Looking, but the animation's choppy. But then sometimes it's not. Sometimes like Spider-Man swinging from a web, or Miles Morales is doing
jumping off a building,
and it's like 30 frames per second, silky smooth. And I'm like, okay, so is it choppy? Is it smooth? Like, I don't know.
It looks great.
The tone is fun, though.
Yeah, you've got the guy from The New Girl.
Jake Johnson.
Jake Johnson is adult Peter Parker.
Yeah, I don't like him
as
Peter Parker.
I don't like him as Peter Parker.
Because Peter Parker isn't...
That's John Krasinski. That's who it should have been.
Yeah, like, Peter Parker is all about the jabs, but he, like, has this kind of, like, lackadaisical stoner delivery, which I like, but not as Peter Parker.
But I wonder if this is...
We'll
wonder if this is 616 Peter Parker.
Yeah,
like, we don't know. Like,
yeah, maybe
Peter Parker's dead in this universe, so this is a different universe. Peter Parker.
But is this the Marvel universe, Peter Parker? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you've got Peter Parker, you've got Miles Morales, you've got Gwen Stacy as Spider Gwen, you've got
Spider Noir
as Nick Cage is the voice of Spider Noir, which is great. John Mulaney is the voice of Spider Ham, which. Amazing.
That's so weird that that's in a movie.
I love the line where he's like, do animals talk in this world? Because I don't want to freak him
out.
That
was funny.
I'm willing to bet that Spider-Man 2099 is in this movie. Yeah. They just haven't shown
probably.
Him yet. That's the one suit.
Nice.
That's the one suit where I was like, come on. How do you not put suit into the movie?
They probably will. But this is produced by Chris Miller and Phil Lord, the Lego movie guys. So if you want to know why the tone is the way it is, and it seems very funny, very entertaining, it's like, those guys, I trust them. I really want to see their cut of Solo. You know,
does it exist?
Ah, shut up. It's fine. Solo's fine. Leave.
No, it's
let
fine.
It rest.
Thank you, Jason.
Turn into the fucking Snyder cut again.
No. It's fine. I'm just saying I'm a big fan
of silencing this conversation. I'll talk over you the whole time.
Anyway, I'm a big fan of them.
The nice Canadian is gone.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. But yeah, two turds rolling in the wind up on this one.
Yeah, this was financially it was a success. Storytelling wise, it was a complete disaster.
I will say this movie, as bad as it is from a critical perspective, this is a very, very bad movie, very poorly written.
I saw it being compared to Catwoman, and I was like, Catwoman.
Not at all.
No, that's the thing. This is a bad movie, but I was also more entertained, maybe because I was laughing at it. I don't know why, but I was more entertained in this than I was in Hellfest and some other movies. Like, it isn't...
I know, you guys, like, this is the week I get strep is the week we decide to do a slasher film.
There is an entertainment factor here, but it's not good. This is not a good movie.
No, it's not.
I think in closing, I should point out Hampton Yount, the voice of Crow on the MST3K reboot.
Yeah.
Tweeted out, and I thought this summed up this movie perfectly. Venom was bitten by a radioactive Evanescence song.
Yeah. Oh, God, the Rock soundtrack. We didn't even mention it. I'm not talking about The Rock.
The Eminem song at the end. All I know was they said something about Venom tentacles in your butthole, and I'm just like, this is the high point of the film for me.
Yeah, it was,
But they tried to accentuate action scenes in this movie with these like Evanescence style rock songs.
Yes, yeah.
And when they came on, I laughed because I'm like, is this supposed to be cool? Because they're playing these
they're playing
like, '90s
a
rock songs?
A band from 2003 that had maybe four hits.
Isn't that what you thought of? Like when they're doing some kind of car scene and they start playing rock and you're just like, no.
Don't do that.
But yeah, that's...
Yeah, there's Venom.
So I guess that's it for this one. Before we go around the table, Jason, where can people find you and your wonderful podcast?
Oh, you guys can find us on all the podcatchers, the ones that you guys usually choose. So Atlantic SC or Atlantic Screen Connection Podcast. You can find me online. You can find it on Twitter at Atlantic SC and also at Jason B. Michael on Twitter. Facebook is my profile's public. You guys can go there as well if you're still using it. And on Instagram, same thing. Thanks for having me on. This is really fun.
Yeah, you were great.
Yeah, thank you for taking the time out.
Thanks for finally accepting all our invitations to come on the show. We've been asking him for years, and he finally says, well, I love Venom, and I was excited about it. So
I had a fun time, man. It's not a good movie at all, but it, you know.
Sometimes
they had me with the opening from The Predator.
Those are the most fun ones to talk about.
Yeah, that's true.
Thanks,
but
Jason.
He's very pressed for time. He's Canada's answer to Michael J. Fox.
Yeah, that's fair. I didn't think about that. Yeah.
So I guess
better get him out of here.
The rest of us can now.
Flux capacitor shining in the back there too.
There is. Yeah. There is. It's hardwired. It comes on when I turn on the light switch. So,
very cool. Love it.
So I guess the rest of us will go around the table and say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. Don't forget, if you want to continue the conversation online, you can do so at facebook.com/Real Spoilers or find us on Twitter at Real Spoilers. Also, don't forget, we're available on iTunes. You can go there, rate, review, subscribe, and, of course, our Patreon account at patreon.com/realspoiler. So that's it for this one. Thanks for tuning in. And until next time, Terry's soul is put into a horse. I said knock knock, let the devil in. Shotgun, flip gallops in the felt bin. Around and catch a hot one. It's evident I'm not done. Big venom is the thought spun like your web and you're just caught in them. Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.